War crime suspect Ratko Mladic made his first public appearance at The Hague today. He called the charges against him obnoxious, and he didn't enter a plea, but he said he defended his people. The 69-year-old former Bosnian Serb general was arraigned at the International Criminal Tribunal on charges of genocide for the massacre of 8,000 Muslim men and boys at Srebrenica and for overseeing the siege of Bosnia's capital, Sarajevo. Under that siege, Sarajevo's 350,000 residents lived under constant shelling and sniper fire for almost 4 years. About 10,000 civilians, including 1,500 children, died. In fact, so many people died that the city cemetery ran out of space and graves had to be put in a nearby soccer field. Now, more than 15 years after the war ended with the Dayton Peace Agreement, some international officials say another war in the country may be at hand. Joining us in the studio is Ria Kulinovic. She came to Boston as a refugee from Sarajevo in 1995, and she's the former executive director at the Center for Balkan Development. Welcome.
Thank you.
Also on the line with us from Sarajevo is Zinaida, or Zinka Ilaria, and she owns a public relations company there. Welcome, Zinka.
Thank you very much.
And we should start out by saying that you're both ethnic Muslims, known as Bosniaks. So you were on the other side of this conflict from the Serbs in the war. And I'm wondering if I could ask both of you, just briefly, when you think of Ratko Mladic, what immediately comes to mind? Ria?
It kind of brings back ghosts of the past, memories of betrayal, sorrow, and loss. Many Bosnians still dealing with mourning their loved ones who were slaughtered and dumped nameless into mass graves. As you know, he played a leading role in the 44-month-long siege of Sarajevo, where I come from. So basically, I survived shelling and sniper fire. I witnessed on a daily basis my family, friends, and fellow citizens being butchered by Mladic's artillery. I also went through horror of war, and putting my studies and my whole life on hold for many years.
How old were you then?
I was 19. And lastly, I got displaced. I got separated from my family and friends, and that's why I'm here today.
Zinka?
In my mind, there comes tears, horrific memories of my own and of my friends and family. There isn't enough time to describe all these pictures and memories that come to mind when somebody mentions his name. I, unlike Ria, come from Banja Luka, and Banja Luka is the city up north of Bosnia, which was controlled by Serbs during the war and is still controlled by Serbs. So I basically had to live through everyday harassment, torture. My father was kept in concentration camps throughout the war. We were harassed constantly. Many of my friends were killed, and at the end of the day, we all had to flee the city in all sorts of different ways. So, and I was a kid when the war started. I was 13. So, you know, instead of like thinking about putting on a first makeup or going out for a first night out with girlfriends, I couldn't even dream about that, you know. So, and at the end of the war, we ended up being refugees in a town northeast in Bosnia, and we had nothing. I mean, we were an average Bosnian family. Mom and dad worked. My brother and I went to school. We had a nice life. And then all of a sudden, not only the fact that the war destroyed everything we had, we were then sort of free people, but we had nothing. I mean, I was supposed to start studying. We didn't have where to live. We didn't have anything. And Bosnia, after the war, still very, very poor, in a very bad economic shape.
How did the arrest of Mladic affect you? What does it mean to you?
To me, as a Bosnian, it means that justice is slow, but it's happening, which is very important. The fact that he was finally arrested means a great deal because he didn't die somewhere out there, free man. The fact that he was arrested so many years after he's been indicted is something that people look in sort of a critical way around here, because we believe that Serbia, that the authorities there always knew he was there. And the only thing people tend to worry now, considering the past experience, is that he's brought to justice, that he's tried, and that he lives through the trial, and that he's convicted. And then we can start speaking about justice being served to him.
And we should probably remind folks about a little bit of the history. The war in Bosnia and Herzegovina had three groups fighting against one another: the ethnic Muslim Bosniaks, the Roman Catholic Croats, and the ethnic Serbs. Now, the Dayton Peace Accord ended the war in 1995, creating a country with two provinces, the Republika Srpska, known as the RS, which is dominated by Serbs, and the Federation, home to mainly Bosniaks and Croats. And then there's a weak central government sort of tenuously holding the country together. Zinka, as you mentioned, while you live in Sarajevo now, you're from Banja Luka in the RS. So what's the reaction there been to the arrest of Mladic?
The reaction of the official political side has been that they believe that this was a good thing for Serbia to arrest him and deliver him to the Hague Tribunal, because they believe it's good in the process of reconciliation and fulfilling the commitments towards the European Union. On the other hand, many people in Republika Srpska see Ratko Mladic even today as their hero. I mean, just a few days ago in what used to be my hometown, 12,000 people gathered carrying his photos and saying that he was a hero and that they all believe he's innocent and that he shouldn't be tried. Just 2 days before that protest, I was in Srebrenica, where 8,000 men were killed and slaughtered, and I was talking to women who buried three sons, husbands, brothers, and everybody. They had a completely different side of story. So at that point in time, I realized that this country is in one huge denial. We are sort of denying as to what happened to one another during the war.
But it also sounds like major divisions within the country, and I wonder how that affects the way the country runs.
Absolutely. I mean, the arrest of Mladic just sort of added an excess spice in this stew that has been cooking for the last 2 years. The problem with Bosnia is that we are the sort of a stalemate. We do not see many reforms happening which should bring economic development, which should bring jobs and food to the table. The politicians seem to be very much interested in their own personal interests. They don't pay much attention to the interests of the country. Now, in order to people not to hold them accountable and say, what are you doing to finally, so many years after the war, help us live better, they start telling people we should be wary of our neighbors, Bosnian Muslims are against Bosnian Croats or Serbs, etc., etc. So they are basically using the nationalistic rhetoric to redirect the way of thinking of people here in Bosnia.
Interestingly, the same rhetoric that was used during the war.
Exactly.
Now, Ria, you have family in Bosnia. Are they concerned that there could be another armed conflict?
Absolutely. Clearly, there are a lot of issues remain unresolved in the region. The stability we crave in Bosnia, it's definitely not assured after 16 years after the war. The unemployment rate is huge, over 40%. Generations of young people are looking elsewhere for their future. And most importantly, Serbians have their own history about this, and we really need to put an effort into re-educating Serbs who till this day do not feel any sense of regret or shame for their failed series of bloody, violent, and racist and expansionist wars in the Balkans. And I think that's what main obstacle towards any progress in Bosnia.
Zinka, are you also concerned about that?
I actually have to disagree because, I mean, people are concerned when they see protests or rallies being organized to support Ratko Mladic. Yes, that's a fact. But at the same time, people who live here, we are tired of war. We are tired of fighting battles. We are ready to move forward. We are ready for a new chapter in our history to be written.
And Maria?
My frustration also comes from the fact that Serbia did arrest Mladic, but for their political advancement, for EU membership, while Bosnia is far from being considered for the EU integration. So it's kind of an irony that the perpetrators of these horrific crimes are given opportunity to get into EU ahead of the victims. And I think that's another frustration for Bosnians.
Bosnia is sort of out of the news, has been out of the news for a while. We hear about it from time to time, like this arrest with Ratko Mladic or the arrest in 2008 when Radovan Karadzic was arrested. But why do you think people in the U.S. should be concerned about what happens in Bosnia?
Because I feel the international community failed Bosnia on a couple of occasions. First, they failed us when they failed to forcefully intervene to stop the genocide and save hundreds of thousands of civilians. And now I feel they're failing us again with this, you know, letting Serbs trade Mladic for the EU integration. And I also feel sometimes that Americans are taking pride in coming up with a Dayton Agreement that brought peace to Bosnia, talking about Bosnia as a success story, which is far from the truth. And if we really want to be concerned about a Bosnia, concerned that, you know, another conflict might emerge, we really need to do something. Please start with revising Dayton Agreement, that decentralized government.
And Zinka, what do you say to that?
Well, I mean, I would say to everybody who's listening to us why they should care. Number one is there was a lot of taxpayers' money from U.S. invested in helping Bosnia rebuild in terms of infrastructure and helping Bosnia develop after the war. And even nowadays, there were some amazing programs financed by Americans in Bosnia and Herzegovina. And second of all, I think that if people looked a bit closer to the Bosnian example, and I agree to a certain extent to what Ria had said, I think Bosnia can and should be seen as a very good example to Americans in parallel with what's happening in Iraq and Afghanistan. Far from me trying to say they're the same situations or similar situations, but we did have a war in Bosnia. We did have an American and international military intervention to stop the war and then build the peace and help continue with this transition process. But we did have failures in Bosnia in the process of nation building. We are now so many years after the Dayton Peace Agreement that was created by the late Richard Holbrooke. We still have a problem with the nation building. Particular example of Mladic, where on one side we are opening champagne here in Sarajevo, on the other side 10,000 people in Banja Luka are protesting.
That problem with nation building is a huge problem.
It is indeed. I think it's our biggest pain. It's hard to hold the politicians accountable. It's hard to expect things to move forward when you don't have three people living in this country agreeing that this is the country that they love, that this is the country they are proud of, that this is the country they want to work for to prosper. All three people still don't see Bosnia as their one and only country. Bosnian Muslims obviously do, but Bosnian Serbs and Bosnian Croats feel a bit more inclined towards our neighborly countries, Croatia and Serbia. So this is a big issue. And another big issue is the problem of reconciliation. The war has stopped many years ago. We see war criminals like Mladic being arrested, being tried and sentenced, but we don't see the real recognition of people on all three sides that horrible things have been committed and people need to be responsible for it and people need to apologize for it.
Ria, what do you think, if you could articulate them, what would be your long-term hopes for Bosnia?
I would start with revision of the Dayton Agreement, and I agree with what's being said that all three sides have to take a significant part in it. But I'm also sure that Bosnia cannot move further unless it's a unified country.
And Zinka, I'm wondering the same question in a way to you. And also, you did at one time live in the United States, but decided to move back to Bosnia. So can you say why and what your long-term hopes are for the country?
Well, I mean, if you once come to Bosnia, and I hope you will one day, you'll realize it's very hard to leave this place. It's hard for me to answer that question, Deborah. I mean, it's a very emotional and personal decision I made. It had to do with the fact that even though I lived throughout the war here and after the war, it was tough. I just felt that I am the happiest person being and living here. So this is where I am and this is where I belong. In terms of my hopes, I do hope that Bosnia will become more unified. I do hope that every citizen in this country will stand at the national anthem of this country and look at the flag and consider the flag as our flag, which is not the case right now because we have this problem with nation building. I do hope that this country will develop economically, that there will be more foreign investments, that we are a small country, 4 million people, and we have so many natural resources and many, many smart people. So I hope that our politicians will create conditions for people to come and invest here, which will then, of course, benefit to the country itself. And I hope that every year, every summer, every winter, we'll have many Americans and people from all over the world coming to this country and seeing how beautiful it is and that it becomes a real tourist destination and that people remember and think of us as a beautiful place to come and see rather than a place that used to be a place of a war in the heart of Europe.
Zinka Ilaria, owner of the public relations firm Z Consultancy, joined us from Sarajevo, and Ria Kulinovic came to Boston as a refugee from Sarajevo in 1995 and is the former executive director at the Center for Balkan Development. I'd like to thank both of you for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.